The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Bill Meyer.
By the way, don't worry about the inflation. It's completely under control. The numbers just came out. U.S. consumer prices rose 3.3% in the year through May. That is a slight cooling of the inflation that will be welcomed by the Federal Reserve. In other words, we cut interest rates in order to goose the stock market in order to help Brandon. I could be wrong about that, but that could be sort of the attempt. But inflation is cooling. Now, notice that they didn't say that inflation is under control. They didn't say that prices are going down. They said inflation is cooling. So in other words, the amount of screwing in the system that is given to you every day in the system is continuing. Just, well, we're beating you a little less harshly. That is kind of the claim coming out of the federal government right now. And as you can tell, I don't buy that kind of a headline, because they always admit, we exclude volatile energy and housing prices and this, that, and the other. And besides, even when they talk about the increase in the cost of housing, they always use the owner equivalent rent. But yet the rent has gone up like 0.5% a month in most areas around the entire country for almost 40 months, last time I recalled. Mike Shedlock, Mishtalk.com, usually does a pretty good job on keeping up on that. I'll be interested to see what he has to say about this. But any inflation, any kind of inflation conversation here about what's affecting people on the ground, that is not including the cost of homes, the cost of rent, the cost of energy. I'm talking about the real cost of rent and the real cost of energy. Although there has been a slight cooling, there's been a rollback on the price of gasoline here. But overall, look at what Pacific Power is trying to do to you right now. If they end up getting their rate increases of this year, we'll be paying one and a half times. Yeah, well, you're paying 50% more for your electricity next year, instead of like 11% a kilowatt hour, or 11 cents a kilowatt hour like we were paying a couple of years ago. It'll be up to 16, 17, maybe touching 18%, 18 cents rather, per kilowatt hour. Who are they trying to kid right now? Do people actually believe this kind of stuff? Well, inflation cools, and that means that everything's going to be okay. Tell me about your stories if you have anything like that. Now, I always talk about Sky Park Insurance with Steve Yancey and how he's working hard to get people better deals. And, you know, I still ended up getting my car insurance up 20% year over year. And that's just the way it is right now. Oh, but we don't count that because maybe that's part of the volatile energy or system, or it doesn't look right, or I don't know. It's just the gaslighting that is attempted here by the federal government at all times. Well, government in general always trying to gaslight us. It's like, are you going to believe our report or your lying experience out there? Your lying eyes and experience where people can't, afford the rent. And I think about the Social Security recipients. What, you got about, you got 2%, 3%. Yay! And then they raised the Medicare. The Medicare too. So one hand giveth, the other taketh away. But I got to tell you, it's an incredible story. We'll have to continue to touch in on it. But I'm not buying any of it. Are you? Or maybe you are seeing a better situation than I am. I'm not a doom and gloomer about this. I'm just talking about realistically. Okay, the gasoline price goes down a little bit, but your car insurance goes up 20-25%. Your house insurance goes up 20-25%. Your electrical bill is, I'm now at the point where I never have an electricity bill lower than about $100-$105 a month. And now I'm an all-electric house because, of course, the gangrenes encouraged us to go with all-electric houses back then. And in that nice cool time between winter and summer, I could usually get a bill down to about 75, maybe 80 bucks a month now. And right now, the lowest I can get a year is 105. You know, that's real money. And not everybody's getting big raises out there. I know that the Providence nurses are asking for 34%. Good luck on that. That won't affect our medical bills, by the way. I'm sure our medical bills have maintained, and our medical insurance costs will continue to be flat. They won't be going up either, right? Huh. I'll tell you, I'm just... anyway, it's just... It's an absolutely unbelievable headline, the way it's being promoted. It's a cooling of the inflation. It's not a deflation. It doesn't mean prices are going back down. It just means the rate of increase is not going back up, or is not going up quite as hot. And even then, when they talk about the pay raises, I have a sneaking suspicion, and I don't have any proof of this. I'd like to get a hold of a legal eagle or a money guy or money girl, depending who it is, might be. There's someone who actually understands their gender and is not questioning about that. But I would really like to be able to find out if we are starting to see wage compression, in which a lot of the gains and the hikes in salary are going to, like, the minimum wage era, because the area, because you have to just get somebody to come in and work the drive-through window or whatever it is. And the only way you're going to be able to do it is that you're having to increase minimum wage and then add on top of that just to get someone to take the job, all right? Now, does that mean that someone who's making $40,000 or $45,000 a year, $50,000 a year, something like that, does that mean that they're getting a big raise when the minimum wage people within that building might be getting a big fat raise, you know, year over year? I don't know. I have my doubts. I have a feeling that what's happening is that that middle tier of employee is probably just having to take it and just hang on and economize and trying to work it, while the lower tier employees are being paid a little bit more, just to try to keep them in the building. I'm kind of wondering, like, the mid management and things like that. I wonder how that's working out. I'll try to find some stats on that. But compression, in other words, the wages in a more narrow range, instead of, okay, we had the minimum wage, and then we have the people that were at middle management making maybe twice minimum wage, maybe two and a half times, and then you had the CEO types, you know, on the very, very top that somehow managed to do well no matter what, but that's another conversation for another time. You know, it's like when times are good, we borrow money and buy back shares. And when times are bad, well, we have to get rid of those pesky workers. But, you know, hey, I still have my sales or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. But I've been wondering if there is more compression going on in the wages. So enough on inflation. If you want to talk about that, we can certainly kick it around. But I am not buying that headline as if everything's going to be just fine. Okay. 770-5633. Serious story happened yesterday in Lane County. Boy, we had a Oregon State Trooper shoot and kill a motorist. This was a traffic stop gone bad. Happened about 4:30. Had a state trooper doing a traffic stop, River Avenue and the Beltline Highway in Eugene. And the driver got out of the car and tried to get a gun from the passenger side of the vehicle. And so the trooper tases the driver. Wasn't successful at this. The suspect driver wouldn't comply, and was able to get the firearm. So in other words, he's going for the firearm. The state trooper has drawn a bead on him, pulls the gun, and the state trooper shoots the suspect dead right there. Yeah, they had medical aid right away, but they couldn't revive him, and he's done. And so we don't know a lot about that. They're investigating it, but wow. That is that's a bad day for that driver and the OSP officer, for sure. Yeah, best thing to do, just sit down, comply, hand the license, don't mouth off. And by the way, don't try that thing where, do you know, hey, listen, I pay your salary. That doesn't work. That does not work with the Oregon State Police or any other police officer. They don't care, okay? Well, they do care. They just don't care. But yeah, no, don't use the... You know, I'm working for you kind of thing, because, well, we all know better. Oregon Department of Transportation releases the news that, hey, the repaving, oh, just when you want to go to the coast and get away from all the insanity and go out there and maybe do a little fishing, now they're going to be doing chip sealing starting Monday. So between O'Brien and the California border, prepare to be sitting around looking at your phone for up to 20 minutes at a time for delays, just so you know. They figure most of the delays will be less than 20 minutes, so just so you understand. And they always have to do that in the daytime. I think it would almost be worth it just to double the pay of everybody that works for ODOT when they're doing chip sealing on 199 just to make them do it at night. Who's with me on that? This is the Bill Myers Show, 21 after 6. What else is on your mind? We can talk about that. 770-5633. Appreciate you being here.
The best technology should make the world more beautiful, life more rewarding, and pull people closer. And the very best tech does all this without harming the planet. Timber Tech Decking, the best performing, longest lasting, and most lifelike look of real wood. Because the best deck naturally comes from the best tech. TimberTech. Go against the grain. Hughes Lumber TimberTech sale is going on now. Don't miss out.
Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com to schedule your free consultation.
Rhonda talks about her experience with Clouser Drilling.
Kevin came right out. The thing that really stood out to me, we could see the years of experience in the quality of their work. And that just showed us what great communication that they have. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend Clouser Well Drilling. They were great to work with.
Clouser Drilling has the experience and the equipment to handle the most challenging conditions. Visit ClouserDrilling.com. That's ClouserDrilling.com. Stay updated on recreational opportunities all over our region with the Outdoor Report every Friday morning just past 7 a.m. on the Bill Myers Show. The Outdoor Report on KMED and KCMD is powered by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your department of adventure off Vilas Road on Airway Drive.
Hi, I'm Randy with Diner 62, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
6:23. Appreciate you being here. Wheels Up Wednesday. Yep, we'll talk with Eric Peters here in just a few minutes. Dig into what he is up to this morning. And by the way, Diner 62, we will have a Real American Quiz. Another one. A one today and a one tomorrow. Just to wrap it up before I go on a long Father's Day weekend, where I'm going to spend, I think, most of the weekend over at Pottsville, if I can help it. I just love going to Pottsville. And I know it sounds so geeky that I go out there for the old-time tractor show, in which they have the usually a coal or wood-fired steam tractor out there, hit-and-miss engines, and a big old flea market, and lots of junk for me to paw through. And I always enjoy that. Always enjoy that. By the way, I understand that Jonathan Knapp is going to be over the Josephine County Republican Party booth, and hopefully they'll have approval at that point and start taking signatures to get Initiative Petition 2024-1 on the ballot, which would actually improve the county charter rather than the stuff that the communists were trying to get into Joe County and Jackson County a few months ago. Okay? Let me go to Jerry the Bull. Jerry the Bull, you're on. You wanted to talk about inflation. What are you thinking about that? The feds are talking about 3.3%, kind of laughable. They exclude everything that we regular folks use, right?
Right. Well, Bill, I live in the real world just like you and all your other listeners do, and it is going up. Prices have increased in Federal Reserve notes. Let me give you an example, though, where they haven't increased.
Okay.
And that is, I just looked this up before I called you. I could go to a coin shop right this second, cash in two silver dollars, and receive approximately $48.
Yeah.
I could go out, fill up a 12-gallon tank. I think my vehicle's 12-gallon for $48. That's $2 in silver divided by 12, and that adds up to about 17 cents a gallon.
So you're talking about the inflation hedge of the precious. I can't disagree with you. Over the long term, you're absolutely right. Over the long term.
But yes, in Federal Reserve notes, it's more expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, Federal Reserve notes are what we are burdened with right now. Okay?
Yep.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jerry the Bull. Let me go to Vicky. Vicky, you were talking about the inflation, too. Fed said prices only up 3.3% year over year. That's about it. Isn't that fascinating? How do you think that is working out for you, Vicky?
Not very well. I have not had a ticket since 1993. My husband hasn't had any kind of speeding tickets or anything since 2016. I have a Kia. It's an older Kia. It's a 2007. And mm-hmm. I keep full coverage on it. Just, you know, I don't.
Okay. No, hold on. You keep full coverage on a 2007 Kia?
I know. My sister, she works at a credit union. She's like, are you insane? Just get liability and uninsured. So I'm going to be switching.
Okay. All right. And I'm just saying, yeah, that's really rough, guys. They're not going to give you much for a 17-year-old Kia. I assure you, you'll pay all that money for, and then all of a sudden they're going to say, okay, Vicky, some dirtbag, a homeless guy driving his car into your side or whatever it is, messed it up. Here's a check for $250. You know, that's,
yeah, I know. And it's my fault. I take total responsibility for being stupid.
Oh, no, I'm not going to call you stupid. I'm just saying it's unwise use of money.
Stupid,
okay.
Billy, you don't have to worry about it.
Okay,
I'm not ashamed of calling myself dumb for doing that. But.
We all have areas in our life in which we're not always logical. I get it. Okay. Yeah. Now then.
Well, every month it goes up $1, $2. It's up to like $102 now a month for no accidents. And I switched to Geico because I'm a Navy brat, and they said, oh, well, you'll get 15% discount, you know, on your insurance. And I look at my statement and where you have all your discounts, good driver, no accidents, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God, there's $500 or $600 that they're saving me, and how much would I be paying if I didn't get all these discounts?
All right, now I'm kind of curious. Now, so $100 a month for driving a 2007 Kia, right?
Yeah, and when I bought it, it had 42,000 miles.
Okay, no, what I was getting at though is that the only car and the only driver, just you?
Well, my husband's on it, I'm the one who primarily drives it.
Okay, how many cars do you have? That two cars or one?
My husband has a truck, and then we have a little Ford Courier that sometimes, you know, if it's not working.
Well, what I was trying to get at there, do you have three vehicles and you're about 105 a month, or is it just 105 for the Kia?
Just for my car.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're getting screwed. Okay. Because I'll let you know right now that I have the liability on a 2006 Passat, 2010 PT Cruiser, and a 1982 ancient Vanagon that's very slow. And so they know that I can't hit anybody. At least I can't hit them hard. All right. And so my car insurance each month is like $120 for all three together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, and that was with Steve over at Sky Park. Not that I wanted to put in a shameless plug, but, you know, give him a call. Okay.
I need to call somebody. I was with Progressive for like 10 years, and they were slowly going up. And then because of this discount, I'm, you know, almost 60 and don't have a lot of money to spend.
Okay, but you're not in Joe Biden territory, so they're not going to look at you as feeble when you're driving. Okay, good. All right.
Yeah, well, I can still put a sentence together sometimes.
Glad to hear it. I have my times, too. But anyway, so get in touch with Steve, and I'll give you the shameless plug now, 261-5444. Good luck on that. But yeah, the inflation is roaring. Let me go to Not So Crazy. Gene. Hello, Gene. And what about your power bill? I was talking about mine. I can never get it below 100 a month now, ever.
Well, mine was 400 again. Last month it was 400. I'm on a payment plan, and I don't know what the plan is, but I think it concerns me bending over.
Okay, now I have to ask you, $400 a month, what kind of a home do you have, and what is driving that energy cost so high? Just curious.
Well, it must be a very expensive home because even though it's an old mobile home, and I don't know what's happening here, but my God Almighty, the house payments are not any more hardly than the power bill is.
Now, $400 a month, do you have serious heating and air conditioning that you have to do there? I'm just curious. I'm sorry to be prying.
No, it's
but
not that serious. I mean, I just have the air conditioner adjusted to where I'm not sweating to the point where I stick to the couch.
Boy, $400 a month. That is a high energy bill. How old is the mobile home?
It's a 74.
Oh, my gosh. You have no insulation. That's what's going on.
Not anymore. I'm sure it's rotten.
Oh, you know something, Gene? We got to find a way. I mean, I know that you have MS. You've talked about this before. We got to find a way to get some insulation in that because that's, you know, for a mobile home like that, well, it shouldn't be much more than 80, 90 bucks a month, I wouldn't think. And now tell me you don't have baseboard heating, okay? Do you have electric baseboard heating?
No, I got Eden Pure little heaters, and I haven't been using the heaters lately.
Okay, well, what I'm saying, though, is that that's the most expensive way to heat, too. That's all I was getting at.
Mm-hmm. After I die, they can bury the mobile home, and it was insulated.
Okay. Well, I think there are ways to help you out. I'll have to talk to you off air about that sometime, okay?
Okay.
All right, maybe I'll have to drop by. Not that I can be your contractor, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, we have to take care of the crazy people, the cast of characters here, okay? All right, thanks, Gene. Let me go to line one. We may have another one. I don't know. Good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve in Sunny Valley. If you're going to be out this way for Pottsville, June 15th, swing on by the airport for airport days and get yourself breakfast at the EAA breakfast.
No kidding. So, oh, yeah. Okay, so are you talking about the Josephine County Airport or something different?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Josephine County. The one, it's in Merlin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that far from Pottsville, really.
Okay. Well, that would make it a double bagger then for me. So, when's the breakfast?
It starts at 9 and it goes till they run out of pancakes. And then we switch on over to pork sliders for lunch.
I'm just going to have to come over. I'm just going to have to do that, Steve. Now, what do they do at airport day? What do they do there?
We are having lots of stuff coming into the airport for Saturday. We got flight demonstrations. We got aerobatic teams. We got lots of World War II planes coming in. We've got your static displays of the big firefighting helicopters. Lots of old, interesting airplanes.
All right. Well, I'm dropping by before I go over to Pottsville. I'll hit you first, then I'll go to Pottsville, okay? It'll be
all
great.
All right.
Because by the time I go to Pottsville, they'll have the snow machine or snow cone machine cranked up by that time. Okay?
There you go.
Looking forward to it. We'll catch you Saturday, all right? Be well.
All right.
We hit the open road. Eric Peters joins me next. KMED 99.3 KPXG in Grants Pass.
The Medford Rogues homestand continues this week at Harry and David Field. The Rogues host the Cascade Collegiate League All-Stars Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Then enter Pacific Empire League play versus the Haroldsburg Packers for another three-game set Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Get your tickets at medfordrogues.com or call the box office and pick up. Box office opens at 5:45. Take the family out to the old ballpark as the action heats up this week at Harry and David Field. Visit MedfordRogues.com for schedules, tickets, and nightly promotions and events.
Longer days and warming weather means more time outside. Terra Firma Foundation Systems wants you to know if your outdoor patio is uneven, cracked, settling, or separating, Terra Firma can help. Restore your sunken concrete in just a few hours. The foam technology settles underneath and lifts your concrete. It's fast and affordable and improves the look and safety of your patios and pathways. Get your outdoor spaces ready with Terra Firma. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. That's GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173547.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the war in Gaza will go on after Hamas proposed numerous changes to a U.S.-backed ceasefire plan. Blinken says while some of the changes were workable, several others were not. A fleet of Russian warships and aircraft have begun entering the Caribbean in what some see as a projection of strength as tensions grow over Western support for Ukraine. Inflation in the United States eased last month. Consumer prices, excluding volatile food and energy costs, rose 0.2% from April to May. That was down from 0.3% the previous month and was the smallest increase since last October. On Wall Street, Dow futures are ahead 352 points. NASDAQ futures are also up by 175. More details at srnews.com.
Progressive knows when you own a boat, life on land is a tough sell.
Come on down to land. The place where you can do so much walking. You can walk to work, the bus stop, or the gym, where you can pretend you're walking up an endless flight of stairs. Even when you're flying somewhere, you can take a really long walk through the airport. It's land.
Life on a boat is way more relaxing, and it's even more relaxing when you protect your boat with Progressive, America's number one boat insurer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, number one rating based on 2022 boat market share data from ratefilings.com.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries, or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from Pure Talk. You get the same 5G network as one of the legacy providers, but at half the price with Pure Talk. Plus, dial #250 and say keywords. Spend less to save an additional 50% off your first month. Make the switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. Dial #250 and say keyword spend less.
An intelligent solution is influenced by timing. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It is rebate season for Bryant cooling products. Don't swelter in extreme heat. Now is the time to replace your heat pump or air conditioner. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable all summer long. That means uninterrupted air conditioning throughout the hottest days of summer. Call Advanced Air for intelligent heating and cooling solutions. Online at myadvancedair.com.
Save with factory rebates on high-efficiency air conditioners. Visit myadvancedair.com.
If you're looking to be more efficient and functional on a job site, release the hounds. Two Dogs Fabricating is Southern Oregon's exclusive North Star flatbed dealer. And if they don't have the perfect flatbed, Two Dogs will build one made to your exact specifications. Plus, come kick the tires on a great selection of heavy-duty Delco trailers and North Star-made Iron Bull trailers in multiple lengths with dump and tilt options. Two Dogs has light-duty North Star trailers, too. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford, and at twodogsfab.com.
106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Crazy Train wheels up Wednesday. It's all here. Eric Peters. Eric Peters, automotive journalist and truth teller, which is why he's not always necessarily popular within the automotive industry because he doesn't necessarily drink the Kool-Aid. Well, he drinks the Kool-Aid only if it's truth and it tastes good, right, Eric? Welcome to the show.
Pretty much. And by the way, I've got the Diary of a Madman album that I bought back when I was a kid in high school. The Aussie, you know, the Aussie bumper, I still have that.
Oh, everybody does, too, as far as I'm concerned. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, I think that album's in better shape now than Aussie is, truth be told. But
yeah, I'd say that that's true.
All right. Let's talk about the latest fatwa out of the apparatchiks out of Washington, D.C. Maybe we should stop calling them lawmakers and rulemakers. We should start using just pure Soviet terms. The nomenklatura, you know, the apparatchiks, the useful idiots and things like that. We just start using, you know, everything from the former Soviet Union. It's about right. It fits, doesn't it?
Well, no,
it
literally, I think you're onto something there because it's honest language. These people have not been elected by anybody. They're part of this permanent bureaucracy, this apparat, that somehow has acquired, in effect, the power to legislate. And what they've done, again, is to effectively outlaw any vehicle that is not a small hybrid or a battery-powered device. What do I mean by that? Well, they just decreed that by, I think, 2029 or 2030, new cars must average 51.4 miles per gallon, else be socked, or the manufacturers will be hit with these onerous fines that will make the cars very difficult to sell. So while they technically haven't said the manufacturers can't build them, they've made it impossible to sell them. So it's a really greasy and oily thing that they've done. It gives them plausible deniability while at the same time, you know, being able to completely direct and control what's left of the car market in a very Soviet manner.
Mm-hmm. And the Soviet car companies are not necessarily rebelling a whole lot at this point, or are they starting to? What do you think?
I think the wheel's beginning to turn. I think they're beginning to understand what they're up against and that they're not going to be able to comply their way out of it. You know, you and I have talked about this many, many times over the years, this idea that, well, if we just do this, you know, they'll leave us alone and we can go about our business. They're not going to leave you alone. In fact, they're going to ramp it up, and it's going to get even worse. And we're at worse right now. You know, 51.4 miles per gallon, there's only one vehicle on the market that you can buy right now that makes the cut, and that's the Toyota Prius. And I like the Prius. There's nothing wrong with the Prius.
Sure.
It's a compact-sized car. It's really not viable for people who need a family car. Yet it's the only vehicle that makes the cut. So that means you have to move up to something like a battery-powered device, which costs two or three times as much. So think about what the effect of that is going to be on people's ability to buy a serviceable vehicle for their family in just a few years from now.
And the useful idiots that are running the country at the moment still haven't figured out how to actually destroy all of the real generating capacity on the grid and replace it with chaotic and intermittent solar and wind. and power all the devices along with everything else we already do.
By the way, you know, right? Something, I came across something this morning that's relevant that pertains to this that I thought was interesting. There was a derisive article on Jalopnik, which I love to hit like a pinata every once in a while because it's just a terrible site written by people who know nothing about cars yet try to write about cars.
And I think people on Jalopnik, I've actually gone there occasionally, and I think they actually hate drivers. I think they really do. All right.
Well, there was a really interesting article about, you know, have you heard of Bring a Trailer? Do you know what that is?
Bring a Trailer, I think, is when you bring a trailer and then you haul off the old vehicle, right? That sort
of thing? Well, there's an auction site that specializes in selling older cars. Anyway, a vehicle was recently sold by Bring a Trailer. It was essentially a brand new 2004 Oldsmobile Alero with 84 miles on it.
Wow.
Okay, so essentially a brand new car. It had been preserved ever since 2004. And they were mocking the person who paid $24,000 for this car, and I'm in the middle of writing a big article about it. They just don't get it. You know, back when it was new in 2004, a V6-powered mid-sized family car was nothing special, and the Alero itself was nothing special compared to, say, a Camry or an Accord with a V6. But you can't get those cars anymore, can you?
Yeah.
So, you know, and today, would you pay $24,000 for a brand-new mid-sized family car with a V6? Probably.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right. I'd be happy to pay $24,000 for that.
Sure. But, you know, these people at Jalopnik who clearly know nothing about cars and don't understand people who buy cars and like them, you know, make fun of it. The guy calls the writer, whoever it was, I don't know whether it was a male or female, describes the person who spent the $24,000 as, quote unquote, nuts for having spent $24,000 on that car.
Okay. The thing is, though, that's a perfectly reasonable car back at that time. It has no mileage, and it probably just needs to have its fluids changed and maybe a few hoses because things have just aged a little bit. That thing will run for a long time, won't it?
Sure, it'll run for 200,000-plus miles. And it doesn't have, in addition to the V6, it doesn't have all of the creepy data mining, monitoring, Big Brother, advanced driver assistance crap that they're foisting on people in the new cars.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, they don't get it. They don't get why people actually like to buy certain models of cars. It's not just about the so-called practicality. There also has to be, well, I guess actually the $24,000 old Oldsmobile actually is practical. For
it's
useful
extremely practical
today.
And also it's a deal. Do you know what a new Camry without a V6 costs?
I want to say 36, 37, something like that.
Not quite that much, but just shy of $30,000.
$30,000. Okay.
And that's with a 4-cylinder hybrid, and the Accord with just a 4-cylinder is slightly less expensive at $28,000.
Yeah.
So not only do you get a V6, but you save yourself about $5,000 in the process.
I am really curious. There was a really peak in used car prices there for a while during the vax time, you know, everything about COVID, et cetera, was blamed on everything at that time. I'm wondering if we're going to start seeing a ramp up in used car prices again. I don't know if it's going to get to that extent where you could actually...
Well, no, actually, it's already happening.
It is.
It's happening in tandem with a decline in new car sales volume. You can go to Automotive News, which sometimes has some interesting stuff, and there's a news story in there about a Ford CFO expressing worry about the backlog, about the backing up of inventory and people not buying new cars.
Hmm.
And part of it has to do with the expense, no doubt. But the other, I think, has to do with the fact that more and more people have just decided, you know, it creeps me out to have microphones and cameras in my car and to know that what I'm doing in my car is potentially being monitored by some third party. You know, this information is starting to come out, just like the truth about the effects of the safe and effective vaccines. And more people just don't want any part of it.
I was reading another article, I forget where it was, Wall Street Journal maybe, in which Generation Z, you know, the youngest generation right now, was wanting to go back and have vehicles that were actually more simple. In fact, even manual transmissions. You know how I always make that joke that my Vanagon can't be stolen by a Gen Z because it doesn't know how to drive stick, right?
Yeah, well, most adults, you know, if you've actually attained adulthood, and I don't necessarily mean that in a chronological sense because there are a lot of 40-year-old infants out there, want to be in control of their own lives. They don't want to be controlled. They don't want to
exactly.
be passive. They don't want to just sit there and be told what to do. And I think these Gen Z kids who have grown up amongst some of the worst of this kind of like soft bullying and hard bullying that's been going on are the first generation since my generation, Gen X, to be willing to push back against some of this stuff.
I'm glad to see that, too. My son, Will, is a Gen Z. And I would tell him about what it was like for me growing up, in which I really wasn't monitored all that much when I was a kid. You know, I got out of school, came home. And then I'd go out in the woods and just screw around and things like that. And I'd come home and just tell mom, hey, I'll be home around dinner time. you know, and life was good. You know, and somehow we managed that. We didn't have to have a cell phone or a device tracking everybody at every time and be reachable 24/7. And
sure.
And he would look at me, even as a little boy sometimes, and go, really? Because the government school was so onerous for him, you know?
I think that gets us into a little bit the article that I wrote this morning that you mentioned earlier, you know, about, I think, the big problem that's besetting, one of the big problems that's besetting the car industry right now is that there's been this disconnect between the rising younger generations and the car companies, the car industry, which just doesn't have much for them anymore, and that it would be really smart of them to get back into the business of selling fun but inexpensive cars, you know, in the $12,000 to $15,000 range that would get people who are in their late teens and early 20s into owning a car.
Even a $15,000 to $18,000 at this point, that was that was a lot of fun, would be probably welcome at this point. But you're right, because the whole idea used to be is that you go down to the Ford dealer, you go down to the Chevy dealer, you go down to Chrysler, whatever it is, and there would be different tiers of vehicles depending on your demographic. And, you know, okay, if you were a little bit on the older side of things, you liked the Buick Regal, as an example, right? You know, that's that sort of thing. And if you were on the younger side, there was usually a more youth-oriented model. And they seem to be trying to get away, or they've been getting away from that a bit, I think.
Well, they totally have. You know, and it's a broader problem. It's just like in the housing market where the entry-level house now is nearly a half-million-dollar house, right?
Yeah,
you know,
that's not much of an entry.
If you're 25 years old, you're out of luck. You can't afford it.
No, not much of an entry point. That is for sure. And so this is, let's hope that they figure this out before they completely shut down the automobile industry by a fatwa, okay? So let's talk about the cool stuff that is going on. The latest one that you've had in the driveway, I don't know if you have a new one in there for next week, but...
Not yet. I still have that wonderful Mustang, so we should talk about that.
Okay, I'll tell you what, hang on just a moment, and we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to extol virtuously on the Mustang, which is perfect because Butler Ford's on this particular segment. Here we go.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $445 a month deal going on Ford F-150s. Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Tow the boat or camper for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Go haying, hunting, or hauling for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Whatever you do in your truck, make sure you do it in one from Butler Ford and Truck Center, where I'll show you how to lease a brand new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month. And let's talk about Ford certified pre-owned vehicles. We're the dealership that sells any make and model as Ford Blue certified. Ford backs up these pre-owned vehicles with a comprehensive warranty and roadside assistance. Butler says yes to easy financing to everyone. Butler says yes to $445 a month on a new F-150. And Butler says yes to certified pre-owned vehicles with warranty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid and electric vehicle.
36-month lease payments and 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade to a 70, excluding tax, license, saddle, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle with cap cost of $42,884. Approved financing to Ford Credit. Offer expires 7/9/24.
Hi, Jason with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros with more spring savings. Right now, purchase a set of four qualifying Yokohama tires through June 15th and get up to a $100 rebate. Get an additional $50 when you purchase with your Tire Pros credit card. There's 14 different tires to choose from, including Geolander AT for your truck or SUV and the Avid Ascend LX for your passenger car. So stop by or call for details to save right now on quality Yokohama tires exclusively at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros.
The Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED.
I'm back with Eric Peters, Wheels Up Wednesday, ericpetersepautos.com. And we've been talking a lot about cars. We'll have a car review here in just a moment. It's perfect. Steve in Sunny Valley, you wanted to ask Eric a question. I know we just had you on a moment ago, but you wanted to talk about getting around these crazy laws. Go ahead. You're with Eric.
Yeah, I think Elio had the right idea. Take a wheel off, call it a motorcycle, forget the airbags and everything else. And the way to get around the minimum fuel laws is to start selling golf carts, palm cars.
Maybe so.
Well, you know, actually what they're doing, they're selling these, what do they call them, side-by-sides and these little ATV-type things that are, for all practical purposes, they're vehicles. And, you know, I know a lot of people in rural areas, and people are using these things now on the roads, even though technically it's not legal. Who cares? You know, it's kind of like a soft revolt against this tyranny, and the more of it, the merrier. And if a lot of us start doing it, it becomes unenforceable.
Yeah.
And they get 55 miles per gallon.
No kidding. Wow.
Or better.
All right. Good to hear from you there, Steve. Just out of curiosity, whatever happened to Elio that he mentioned?
Well, I think Elio had made the mistake of trying to comply, and they got caught in between a rock and a hard place, meaning that what they were trying to put together was neither a motorcycle nor a car. So they had the problem of having to comply with car regulations or with the motorcycle ones, in particular, the one that applies in states where there are helmet laws. And that's a real, you know, if you want to buy like what's essentially a car, even if it is only a three-wheeler, you don't want to have to wear a helmet. So that really, really screwed them up, and they just were never able to make a go of it.
Maybe what you do is that you put on a skin over your head that just looks like a helmet.
Yeah, right.
Nobody knows.
Right.
All right. Hey, let's talk about this this latest one here, the 2024 Mustang. And you've been having a lot of fun with this from the sounds of it, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, everybody focused, or a lot of people will focus on the V8 GT, and that's a, you know, that's a wonderful car, too. But I think the base Mustang is the most remarkable right now. 30 years ago, my time flies, right? Ford gave me a Cobra R to test drive for a week. And at that time, that was the hottest Mustang you could buy. And it was a street-legal race car. It had a fuel cell. It had the last of the 351 V8s. It had a five-speed manual. Didn't have back seats. Didn't have AC. It was meant for road racing.
Yeah.
The V8 made 300 horsepower. Well, the new base four-cylinder Mustang makes 315 horsepower, and you don't have to have a road racing license to buy the thing. Anybody can buy it. And it has AC, it has power windows, it has a great stereo, it has everything you could conceivably want or imagine. The only thing I don't like about it, and it's just a subjective thing for me, is that Ford decided to put an entire full-width LCD touchscreen in it in lieu of analog gauges. But other than that, five thumbs up.
Okay, five thumbs up. I would agree with you on the touchscreen here because a Mustang is something that you almost expect dials, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, in its defense, you have multiple configurable options, including what they call, you know, virtual analog gauges. So you can dial up, if you want, something that looks like an analog tach and speedometer, and then they have, I think, at least five other different permutations, and you can call up various gauges, and it's got lap timers and it's G-meters and all sorts of other things. And, you know, I can get why people like that. My only concern is that down the road that might not age so well, and when it begins to glitch, it might be expensive to deal with replacing it rather than repairing it.
Has there been any effort for maybe some entrepreneurs to actually find a way to start repairing these touchscreens on these newer vehicles that will eventually go bad? We know that.
I would imagine that eventually that will happen. I'm glad that's not my job, though. That looks like a pretty difficult thing. And there probably also is some issue with the proprietary nature of these things. You know, these are specific to that make, model, that manufacturer that has legal monopolistic rights over it. And, you know, whether a third-party aftermarket source can get into piddling with it, I don't know.
Are we getting any closer to right to repair on a national scale?
Not that I've seen. You know, right now this is sort of a state-level thing. I'm not aware of anything going on at the federal level, though I hope so. You know, it has right behind it, ultimately. You know, it's one of those clauses that it's just common sense and people can get it. You know, the idea that you bought this thing, you ought to have the right to be able to have access to it. It's yours. You paid for it. It's just very difficult to argue that anybody would be denied that right.
And the way I'm thinking right to repair could be used to leverage some equity in the real sense on, you know, not the way the DEI people talk. What I'm thinking of, and let me just complete my thought here, Eric. I'm sorry about that.
Sure.
But it is, you have right to repair, and then you get to the point where a manufacturer will no longer support. You know, the car company will no longer support the touchscreen, or they won't sell the parts for this car anymore because they're hoping you'll get the new one, right?
Yep.
Well, at this point, right to repair would then say, okay, entrepreneur comes in, and if there's proprietary software in that touchscreen, they should be able to get it and get access to it from the manufacturer. If the manufacturer is not going to support it, you then have to let everybody else get into it is all I'm getting at. Okay?
No, yeah, I'll go you one better. I wish that when this whole tablet touchscreen thing began a few years ago, that rather than have these manufacturer-specific screens, they would just put a port in the dashboard, and then you, the buyer, could plug in your iPad or whatever, your screen, which would then be easily replaced, you know, down the road when you wanted to upgrade or it needed to be upgraded.
That would be the best way. In other words, kind of like a universal port like they have for the state inspection port, you know, the computer
port. Sure, the OBD port, exactly.
Yeah, that you do the same thing and you do that for the touchscreen. I think that would be great. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if anyone's going to have the smarts or the foresight to think of that and think it would actually be a good thing. I could be wrong about that, but... One can always dream, can't we? All right.
I think actually there might be a smart manufacturer out there, one of the car companies that recognizes that particularly the young people, the Gen Zs who are native to this, you know, they've grown up with all this computer stuff, who would love that, who would love to be able to have a configurable car where they can put their personal stuff in the car and it's just plug and play.
Yeah, exactly. And they make it easy to interface with the car. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, wouldn't it be good to be able to do that with Tesla of all vehicles when you think about
sure.
it, right? Oh, my goodness. All right. Speaking of repairs, I finally want to wrap up with an intriguing article you have on epautos.com, which is a wallet shield would be better. And I think, and I'm glad someone is touching on this, and you hear on radio and television, and because of a downturn in the economy, CarShield has a special deal right now, so you won't have to pay for covered repairs, you know, this and that and the other. Break this story down because you're under the hood on this, okay?
Yeah, well, you're very familiar with it, as am I, as anybody who listens to the radio is. It's this predatory shyster peddling of these supposed service protection plans, irrespective of the age and mileage of your vehicle. So, you know, I draw the parallel with these advertisements that you hear of, get life insurance today, no medical exam needed, you know, no age limit. Yeah, what's wrong with this picture?
And remember, Big Lou, he's got ex-wives too, you know, that kind of thing. Right?
So, you know, they're trying to, on the one hand, use fear of a repair. They'll say, can you afford a $2,000 unexpected repair? Well, you probably could if you hadn't been spending money on things like CarShield. You know, you're far better off putting your money aside in the cookie jar for just in case than paying out of fear that something horrible is going to happen tomorrow. These places aren't stupid. They understand actuarial tables and so on, and they base their offerings on what they're not likely to pay. You know, there's that to take into account. And the other thing is they're just fundamentally shady. If you look into it, there are all sorts of exclusions, as you'd expect, and you try to collect on one of these things, and you're never going to do it, more than likely. So there's that to take into account. And the other thing is, too, you know, people should really remember what Mark Twain said about how difficult it is to cheat an honest man. If something sounds too good to be true, it is. Mm. Nobody gives away anything for free, particularly in business.
How much do those kind of plans cost? I mean, is there kind of like a ballpark figure that you've looked into on this?
You know, I think it depends on your particular. You have to call them to find out.
Oh.
They've got Ric Flair, the old wrestler, you know, now peddling. I guess Ric Flair has fallen on hard times and needs some money.
All right. Here is the deal, though. You have talked about yourself, though, that some of the vehicles out there do have some massively expensive potential repairs.
Yep.
And I'm thinking about constant velocity transmissions, the CVTs.
Yes.
There are some of them that are just absolutely atrocious unless you micro-service them all the time. Would not a CarShield work for something like that?
Well, again, assuming they pay for it, which they probably won't, but run the numbers. And I did this in the article. Let's say you just put aside $100 every month for 3 years. Now you've got enough money to pay for your CVT if it fails.
Got it. Okay. All right.
And probably it won't. And then you'll still have your $3,500, right? You know, which you could use for some other thing, and you won't have paid the opportunity cost of having lost that money. You know, I think we're way overinsured in this country. I think a lot of people are in difficult positions financially because they're spending so much on all this insurance.
Mm. It's an interesting point. I'm thinking about, I have that homeowner's service insurance too. Mm. I don't have the car shield, but I have like the home shield kind of version of that, I guess.
You know, you go out and buy a $30 blender and you get to the checkout counter and they want to try to sell you an extended service plan on the blender.
Mm-hmm. No, I always turn that down.
Some people actually must buy that.
I know. Well, I tell them, I say, listen, I'm looking at this $30 blender as kind of a disposable item, okay? You know, if it really is that bad after a year or two, forget about it, you know? Okay, point well taken. So a wallet shield would be better. You got to read the review of the Mustang. It's just great. By the way, I forgot to ask, how much is the base Mustang, roughly speaking? What's that range?
30,000, a little bit. I think it's, what, 30,000, 450, something like that, just over 30,000.
See, that's an affordable car, relatively speaking, by today's standards.
Well,
here,
consider, again, to get back to that 95 Cobra R, which was kind of an exotic car back in 1995. You know, it much more expensive in real dollars than the new Mustang. And, you know, I'd far rather drive that new Mustang every day than that Cobra R, as fun as it was.
All right. And needless to say, to think now that you have the performance of what used to be a race car just a few years ago. Amazing stuff.
Yep. All right. Twice the mileage, I should add, too.
Oh, very good. What do you have in the driveway for the next review next weekend?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I'm sorry. I know we do this every week. I haven't kept track of what's coming. I think it's a Buick, but I'm not totally sure which Buick.
Okay. Does that mean it's a crossover?
Yeah, that's all they sell now, fortunately.
Okay. Well, you can tell us about the crossover.
I know
when you have to do crossover reviews, I know that you're really having to work because they're practically all the same with all the different manufacturers. And so you're kind of glazing over. I know you'll be glazing over the word processor.
Yeah. I mean, for those who remember, there was a famous shock jock called the Grease Man. And sometimes the Grease Man would sigh and say, "And they ask me why I drink." And I can really relate to that now.
All right, Eric, epautos.com. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bill.
Okay. It's a minute after 7. This is KMED and KMED HT1 Eagle Point Medford. KBXG Grants Pass at 99.3 FM. News from Town Hall is coming up.
Moving out.